very difficult to preach to people that aren't prepared, that don't have a foundation to for that for them to understand what you got. I couldn't teach a class like this up there at all. I'd have to train people at least 1 year before they could even take this class. In any church, you'd have to. And Sharon, you know that. You know that. Marilyn, I think you know that. And Chris, you know that. It's you just don't go into this like this. This is advanced stuff. So let's go to 14:21, Genesis 14:21. Sharon, do you have your Amplified Bible with you? Oh boy, now is that the Old Testament? Mm-hmm. Could you go from about 14:15? Get ready to go from 14:15 onward.
Okay.
All right, just come right up here and by me, and we'll get where we are. 15 through 21.
Okay. He divided his forces against them by night. He and his servants attacked and routed them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought back his kinsman Lot and his possessions, and the women, and also and the people. After Abram's return from the defeat and slaying of Chedorlaomer, and the kings were with him, the king of Sodom went to meet him in the valley of Sheva, which is the king's valley. Melchizedek, king of Salem, later Jerusalem, brought out bread and wine for their nourishment, and he was a priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed, favored with blessing, made blissful, joyful by Abraham, by God Most High, possessor and maker of heaven and earth, and blessed and praised and glorified by God Most High, who has given you your foes into your hand." And Abram gave him a tenth of all he had taken. And the king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the persons and keep the goods yourself."
All right. Thank you. There's where we are. We have a very important individual here, Melchizedek. What do you think about Melchizedek, Chris?
They think he was the incarnate Christ.
Yes.
Because he says he had no end and no beginning and no parent.
He is at least a type of him. If he wasn't him, he was at least a type of him. And this is quite a story. Now, in the New Testament, in Hebrews, and I don't have my Bible up here, I've got to bring it. Hebrews 11th chapter. Can I borrow your... That's an Old Testament only.
Here, I got it.
Okay. Hebrews 11th chapter.
This is new in the...
Let me
amplified.
See that.
This is Amplified.
Was that the New Testament?
That's New Testament Amplified.
Okay. Let me look at this one. Let's see if it's over here in 7. Chapter 5. In the book of Hebrews, it says, "For every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relationship to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with a weakness. Because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifice for his own sins, just as he does for those of the people. And no one takes his honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not exalt himself to become made high priest, but appointed by him and said to him, You are my son, today I have begotten you. And he says also in another place, You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. In the days of Celestia, Jesus would offer up prayers and supplication with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And then it keeps on talking about the certainty of God's promises here. And in chapter 7 of the book of Hebrews, chapter 7 of the book of Hebrews really explains what happened there in the 14th chapter of the book of Genesis. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, made Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. And to him Abraham appointed the tenth part of everything, and he is first, by translation of his name, king of righteousness. And then he is also king of Salem, that is, king of peace. He is without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God, he continues a priest forever. See how great this man was, to whom Abraham, the patriarch, gave a tenth of all the spoils. And those descendants of Levi who received the priestly office have a commandment in the law to take these tithes from the people, that is, from the brothers, their brothers, though these also are descended from Abraham. But this man who does not have his descent from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. It is beyond dispute that the inferior is blessed by the superior. Abraham was not superior to Melchizedek. In the one case, tithes are received by mortal men, but in the other case, by one whom is testified that he lives. You understand that? Who's that? Jesus. One might even say that Levi himself, who received tithes, paid tithes through Abraham. You get this? When you tithe, when you give, it blesses your children and your descendants. For he was still in the loins of his ancestor when Melchizedek met him. This is before Abraham had children. But his children would be blessed because of what Melchizedek. Now, if perfection had been attainable through the Levitical priesthood or under it, the people received the law, what further need would there have been for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek, rather than one named after the order of Aaron? For when there is a change in the priesthood, there is necessary a change in the law as well. For the one whom these things are spoken belonged to another tribe, from which no one has ever served at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, through whom the Messiah would come. That in connection with that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. This becomes even more evident when another priest arises in the likeness of Melchizedek. This is Jesus, who has become a priest not on the basis of legal requirement concerning bodily descent, but by the power of indestructible life. This may be saying that Melchizedek lived forever, that he was indeed Christ. For it witnessed of him, You are a priest ever after the order of Melchizedek. For on the one hand, a former commandment is set aside because of its weakness and uselessness. For the law made nothing perfect, but on the other hand, a better hope is introduced, through which we draw near to God. And it was not without an oath, for those who firmly became priests were made such without an oath. But this one was made a priest with an oath by the one who said to him, The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind, You are a priest forever. This makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing on and living. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost. That's really good. Those who draw near to him, God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them, and we need it. That's what I preached this morning. We need this intercession every day. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens, he has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily for his own sins and then for those people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men in their weakness as high priests, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has made perfect forever. Actually, there's no a son in there. It says the son, if you want to put anything, the son. Jesus, high priest of a better covenant. Now the point in which we are saying this is, we have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister in the holy places, in the true tent, the true tabernacle. That's the tabernacle down there, this one right here. Moses made this according to what he saw, and there were artisans inspired to do this. This real tabernacle is in heaven. The Ark of the Covenant is in heaven. He showed them these things. For every priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Thus he is necessary for the priest to have something to offer. Now, if it were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law. They serve a copy, a shadow, a type of the heavenly thing. This is a simile. This is a metaphor. This is types, the parables of things. The shadow of heavenly things. For when Moses was about to erect the tent, he was instructed by God, see that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown to you on the mount. Shown to him. He showed it to him. But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is much more excellent than the old as a covenant. He mediates in its better sense. It is enacted on better promises. Better promises. Mm-hmm. How long were they forgiven at the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur?
One day.
Next day they had to count and remember all those sins and start all over again. Mm-hmm. Better promises. For if that was covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion to look for another covenant. For he finds fault with them when he says, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant I made with them and their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt, for they did not continue in my covenant. So I showed no concern for them, declares the Lord. For this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. You know, all of these covenants that we have here, these little mini covenants, innocence, conscience, human government, the promise, the Egyptian bondage, the law given to them. Now we're in the church age, what they call here on the chart the age of grace. All of this is the age of grace. All of it is the age of grace. We live in the church age today when all of the, after the promises were all fulfilled. The promise of the Messiah would come in Genesis 3:15 is fulfilled here. It's already been fulfilled. So we now have eternal life, and it is procured by the person of Jesus Christ. I will put my laws into their minds. Is it there? Mm-hmm. And I will write them on their hearts. Is it there? And I will be their God, and they shall be my people, and they shall not teach each one his neighbor, and each one his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, for I will be merciful unto their iniquities, and I remember their sins no more. Now this truly will be fulfilled in the millennium. Mm-hmm. But we, in the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, know these things today. We know these things. And speaking of a new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete. And what is becoming obsolete, growing old, is ready to vanish away. Now, even the first covenant had regulations for worship in an earthly place of holiness. For a tent was prepared for the first section, in which were the lampstand, the table, and the bread of the presence. It's called the holy place. He starts describing the tabernacle here. The tabernacle. Now, the book of Hebrews is written from a Hellenistic Jewish point of view. It has the ark of the incense, the table of incense, he had it in the Holy of Holies because it's next to it. And that's what they taught. The Jews did not teach that. But we have a person here that's a Hellenistic Jew writing the book of Hebrews, so it wasn't Paul. Couldn't have been Paul because Paul wasn't a Hellenistic Jew.
So is it something they didn't know? Or
it is something they interpreted it differently.
Oh.
Because this thing was so close to the veil, they believed that it was inside of here. They considered inside, and the Jews did not do that. Here's the table of rosary, the altar incense, and the candlestick that's in this room. And here only is the Ark of the Covenant. Now, why is not this candlestick made out of acacia wood? What is this candlestick a type of?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. It's pure God.
Right. No
pure
man.
God. Not God-man, but pure God. This is acacia wood with gold overlay. This is acacia wood with gold overlay. This is acacia wood with gold overlay. And then this above the Ark of the Covenant is all pure gold.
Mm-hmm.
Because it represents Christ as our Savior today in heaven. He is our Hilosmos. He is our propitiation. For not for ours only, but for the whole entire world.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll quit right here and we'll go back to. Now let's go back to 1421. Wyomer, Melech, Saddam, El Abram, Ten, Le, Hanafesh, Weharekush, Ko. In the Greek, Tain de Hippon Labe Seaton. And he said to King of Sodom, unto Abraham, give me the souls. Look at that. Le nefesh hanefesh. Nefesh, the souls. The souls, the slaves, the captives. These people have souls, don't they? Animals have souls. And portable property. And the other portable property, what is portable property?
Animals.
Animals. Horses, sheep, goats. Camels, elephants.
Mm-hmm.
They even believe that they had elephants here. Portable property you take for yourself. Give me the souls, the living souls, all those people that have taken, that were taken as captives, and I will keep, you keep everything else. Then in 1422 he says, Wyomer, Avram, El Melech, Sidom, Harimoti, that is. Yodi, El, and then we have Hathavar there, which is Jehovah. El, Elyon, Gone, or Kone, Shamayim, Waaretz. All right, and he said, and he kept on saying, Abraham unto the king of Sodom. Now here we have God saving the king of Sodom. We have the God saving the king of Gomorrah and all the other cities. God went and rescued them, didn't he? But what happened to them later on? God killed every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
God left out of Egypt with a whole lot of mixed multitude, didn't he? Well, some of them didn't believe. He killed 40,000 at one time, zap, didn't he, of those that came out. Now here God rescues these people of Sodom. And Sodom should have known this is a horribly wicked city. Read the book of Jasher and see how horribly wicked it was. We read that in one of the former classes. The king of Sodom. He said, lift up. Lift up my hand unto Jehovah, unto the Most High God, possessor of heavens and earth. This is the one that saved you. It wasn't my soldiers. It wasn't my. And how many soldiers did he have? How many captains? It doesn't say how many soldiers he had.
300-something captains.
Yeah, he had so many captains.
318?
Yeah, a lot of captains. These are what we call commissioned officers. And they had many men under them. Abraham had quite an army that he had with him. Now let's go 1423. Him. Bishuth. We odd. Sorok, Naal, Weim, Ikah, Mikol, Asher, Lok, Wilo, Tomar, Ani, Ha, Hasarti, Et, Abram. From the thread unto the thong, a thread, a thread. What's a thread? A single, solitary thread in your clothing, not a thread. If you have you ever had threads unravel on your clothes? That was real common back then. He said, not a thread. Not a thread. I don't want a thread. I don't want a leather thong. Not even part of them. Not even a thong that you tie your shoes on your feet with. You know, actually, the word in Greek for shoes is underbinders. Underbinders. You bind your feet. You bind these things under your feet. Like Sharon's got there. Like, you got any shoes on here?
I do. But okay. There.
All right. Those are underbinders. These are underbinders. You don't have there. Your foot is not enclosed in that. They're underbinders. Not a thread. Not part of a shoe. Or a sandal. A na'al. And if I shall take and keep on taking from all. Look at that word there. First person construct, singular, cal, imperfect. I shall take and keep on taking from all which to you, and not you may say, I have enriched Abram. I don't want anything from you. I saved your lives. I took you out of slavery now, and I'm giving you back your lives and putting you back in your city. But I don't want you to say that you gave me anything, not anything. I don't want you to say that you gave me anything because God gave it all. I don't want anything that's yours. All I want is a Lot and his family. 14:24. Bil Ode. Rock. Asher. Akilu. Hana Arim, Wihelek, Hana Shaim, Asher, Halika, Iti, Aner, Esko, Umare, Hem, Yiku, Hilgam. And from, apart from, only, rock means only, what? They have eaten. They have eaten. Now, when you're out running around, you get hungry. Marilyn gripes at me because I don't eat enough. I just go and go and go and go on an empty tank. But that's my Indian ways. That's just the way I am. If I didn't have a low blood sugar, I probably wouldn't eat for days sometimes. They have eaten. These people are out warring and fighting, and they're traveling, and they're eating yogurt, they're eating cheese, they're drinking milk, they're eating dates, they're eating breads, a primitive bread that they had, and probably some jerky, and they probably kill a calf every now and then, and kill a goat, and they'll roast that and eat all of that because they're hungry. I mean, these are hundreds of people. He said, for only which or what they have eaten, and this is third person construct plural cal perfect. They have eaten already, the young men, and a portion the men who they have gone out with us. They may take their portion, their division. These men, whatever they've taken, they've taken. Okay, not me. I'm not taking anything from you. Just the men. 15:1. This is that great war of the kings. Achar. Ha-da-barim. Ha-ele. Ha-ya. The var. And then Hadavar El Abram.
Bam
Ma Haze. Lemor. Al Tira. Abram. Anoki. Magen. Lak. Si Karika. Harbe. Meod. After. Achari, after. That has the idea of time in it. After. The words, Hadabarim, after the edict, it says in the Septuagint, Remata to Tauta, the words, the flowings, this was a legal agreement. This is an edict. This was a contract that Abraham spoken. The words of these, he had become the word of Jehovah. Look at that. The words of Jehovah. The edict of Jehovah. And here we have the words, Dvar HaDvar, are actually, if we knew how to say the word Jehovah, they say Adonai today, we say HaDvar, or Hashem, the name. El Abram, unto Abram. In a vision, Ba Mahaze, in a vision, in a dream, in a hypnotic trance, saying, not you keep on fearing for yourself. Look at that. What is that for yourself in there, Sharon? Do you know what's that? What means for yourself?
Well, it's qualitational.
Uh-huh. And what modes in the Hebrew is that? Look down there. Read that off for me, would you?
Okay.
This is Al Tira. Terror.
Oh, okay. I'm
second person, masculine, singular. Cal, okay. Jusiv in meaning. Jusiv means what? That's volition.
Volition.
That's like the middle voice and the subjunctive mode in the Greek right there. Abram. What does Abram mean, Marilyn? Abram. You remember what Abram means? It's not Abraham. It's Abram. This is exalted father. Exalted father. And then I, Anoki, a shield to you. Your reward, the great, the much, exceedingly. Now God speaking to him. Sharon, do you have that in Amplified still right there? Would you read from 14:21 to 15:1? 14:21 to 15:1?
Okay, 14:21. And the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons and keep the goods yourself. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand and sworn to the Lord God Most High, the possessor and maker of heaven and earth, that I would not take a thread or a shoelace or anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich. Take all except only that my young man have eaten and the share of the men allies who went with you. And Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, and let them take their portion. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am your shield, your abundant compensation, and your reward shall be exceedingly great.
All right. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. It's a little stumbly in the Hebrew and in the Greek sometimes. That Amplified Bible smooths it out. 15:2, Wayomer. Abram. Now let's try to say that Abram. Let's roll that R. Abram. Adonai. Here's the word Lord. Now this is Lord. This is the word that all the modern Jews supplement for this word over here, Jehovah. Now it doesn't look alike, does it? Look there. Aleph, Daleth, Nin, and Wow. Or not Wow, but Yod. That's Adonai. Over here we have Wow, Hey, Yod, hey, wah, and hey. See, they don't look alike. But the modern Jews will substitute Adonai for that word. Now, there is a person as Adonai Jehovah. And they would say here, Adonai, Adonai. But look what it says. Adonai Jehovah, Hadavar. Adonai Jehovah, the Lord Jehovah. He is the King of Kings. That's what Adonai means. The King of Kings. Adonai Ha'Adonaim is the Hebrew for King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But here we have Adonai Jehovah. This is another title of Jehovah. What does Jehovah mean, Chris?
Is it He who shall become?
He who shall become. He who shall become. Where was that fulfilled in the New Testament? Specifically? Marilyn? Marilyn, where was the Jehovah title fulfilled in the New Testament?
In the New Testament?
Yes, where was it fulfilled? Where was the title of Jehovah fulfilled? The very Greek verse that you know all the time. John what? Sharon?
John 1:14.
John 1:14. Can you quote it for me in Hebrew? I mean Greek.
In Greek?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Kaihologos
sarx agenito. Kaihologos sarx agenito. And the word, the Jehovah flesh, he became for himself. Middle voice, by the way. All right? That's like juicy. And
so then why do they reflect? Why do they say... Is it because they don't want to say the word Jehovah?
They are afraid to say. Exodus 20 and verse 7. Go look that up for me. Exodus 20 and verse 7. Look up Exodus 20 and verse 7. They will never speak the name Jehovah after that verse was revealed to them. Why don't you come up here and read that for me?
Sure.
Barefooted and all.
No, sorry. Shoes are just too binding.
Oh, yes. Us Indians, you know,
we have trouble with
shoes, don't we?
We do. And we got tough feet, so we can do it.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So 27.
Yeah.
You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain.
That's a scary verse, isn't it?
Yeah.
But after that, they would not, absolutely never, 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 never say the name Jehovah again. So they'd say Hadavar, the word, or Hashem, the name. But they would not.
But just saying his name isn't really taking it in vain.
They were afraid. Remember, it says, you shall not boil a calf in its mother's milk. Now pagans would take and milk a cow, and they would slaughter the calf and cook it in that milk. Now that seems gross to us, but a Jew today will not have a glass of milk or cheese or butter or anything on the table when you're eating beef. They won't mix. Now that's an exaggeration, a hyperbole of what it actually says. They weren't supposed to imitate pagan practices. That's what it meant.
So
but they want a little bit,
line
yeah,
farther away.
They will make it harder. You know, man-made religion always requires more of you than what God does.
Right.
Adonai Jehovah. John 1:14 is cross-reference to that if you want to write it down. All right, John 1:14, Exodus 20 and verse 7. Exodus 20 and verse 7. And there is where we have cross-references to it, and that's why in the New Testament, John uses the word hologos. That is a Hebraism. Well, let's go back here and say it. And he said and kept on saying, Abraham, Lord, Adonai Jehovah, Mah, what, Tetim, what can you give, can you keep on giving to me? And I, we, Anoki, and I, Helek, I am departing. I'm departing. I'm walking. I will keep on walking. It's masculine singular. Cal participle. Childless. Now, he expected that he wouldn't have any children because Sarah was barren. Okay? And he hadn't yet had sex with Hagar to bring forth a child. It wasn't his fault. Sarah kept telling him it was his fault. And then, of course, when the first time he went into Hagar, she got pregnant. So guess whose fault was? Sarah's fault. God had shut her womb up. And she was kind of picking on him a little bit, and then she picked on her a whole lot. And who was the first person to use the name, the Lord my shepherd?
Hagar.
Mm-hmm. What does Hagar mean?
Pilgrim, wanderer.
Wanderer, pilgrim. And son, Yuvan. Look at that word. Can you explain that to me, Chris? Yuvan. Let's just look at this little word. What's on the front of that, Sharon?
Oh, the U, which is preposition and.
Conjunction and.
I'm sorry.
I know you knew what you were saying, but.
But I wasn't saying.
It didn't come out just right. There's a conjunction on the front of it.
Yeah.
That wow is a conjunction. And here it turns into you because you've got the doggish in the middle of it. And then ban, that doggish in the middle of that one makes it a strong B. Ban, you ban. Okay? And son, a possession, my house. He is a Damascus. Eleazar. A type of John the Baptist, Eleazar is, by the way. Now, Eleazar, do you remember what Eleazar means, Sharon? Do you remember that?
Thinking of Lazarus.
You've got a good mind now.
Okay.
Dig around in there. Eleazar. It's got God in there. God what?
Okay,
God helps. What does Lazarus mean?
Helpless.
And same word, same root.
Does
Lazarus means helpless, and here we have Eleazar mean God helps.
Does
El on the front of Eleazar. All right. El means God. God helps. And Lazarus mean helpless. 15 and verse 3. Wyomer. Abram.
Hen.
Le.
Lo.
Natata.
Zara.
Wihine.
Ben.
Betty.
Yoresh.
Oti. Now he's telling God that since he doesn't have a child, that Eleazar is going to inherit everything he has. Now, Eleazar was a man that was born in his household. He was probably one of his captains and the most trusted bosom friend. Remember, Eleazar later on would go get Isaac a bride, wouldn't he?
That's where I heard that name.
Eleazar.
Okay.
Eleazar is a type of John the Baptist. John the Baptist had no reward. He was never baptized himself, but he was sent to gather the bride for the Lord. And the bride is what?
The
church. The church existed before Christ, before the day of Pentecost. John the Baptist began to call it out. And Jesus organized it. John the Baptist called out, and he led the bride to the bridegroom. And he said and kept on saying, Abram, Hen, behold, watch out to me not. Now, you said you're going to bless me real good. I don't even have a child. I'm going to have to leave everything I got to my right-hand man. Not you have given. Second person, master, senior, cow, perfect. Not you have given. Zara. It in Greek is spermata, seed. Through the sperm, through the zara, in a woman's womb comes forth a child. And behold, wehene. And tell about this wehene there, Sharon. Can you tell me a little bit about that word? Break that one down. Just a little bit. We on the front is what?
And
that's a conjunction. And then hene means behold.
Oh,
behold. Behold. Pay attention. That's what it means. Pay attention. A son of my house. He was a son of my house. And he said, masculine, singular, cow participle. And he shall be inheriting from me. He shall be inheriting from me. He's going to make him his son because he was born in his house. So he's going to say, this is the closest thing to a son that I have. Sometimes some of your dear friends, some of your bosom friends all your life are closer to you than your children, believe it or not. 15 and verse 14. Wehene. Lavar. And then we have the word Hadavar again, which is Jehovah. I want you to get that impressed in you. The word Jehovah in Hebrew, they would say Hadavar. That is the word Hologos in the New Testament. In beginning, in arche, ain, kept on being the Jehovah, Hologos. And the Jehovah kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead because Jehovah kept on being God. John 1:14 says, Kai Hologos starts again. And the word, the Jehovah, flesh he became for himself, and he dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, the one being own in the bosom of the Father, that one has led himself out. Isn't that beautiful? That's our Savior. That's our God. So how many people in the world have that kind of God? Mormons have that? Jehovah's Witnesses have that God? Islam have that God? That's our God. That's our Savior, the one that became flesh to redeem us. Wihane davar hadavar ilah lamor. Okay? 15 and 4. On the second line. Lamor. Lo. Where are you, girls? You're not repeating after me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we already said it.
No, we hadn't got that far.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Start.
Okay, let's start off. Wihene.
Wihene.
Davar.
Davar.
Hadavar. Elo. Lamor. Lo. Yarishika.
Yarishika.
Ze.
Ze.
Ki.
Ki.
Im.
Asher.
Yetzi.
Yetzi.
Mima. Mimika.
Mimika.
Hu. Yerashika.
Yerashika.
And behold, word of Jehovah. Word of Jehovah, or however you say that name, unto him, saying, not he shall keep on inheriting. Third person master singular, cal imperfect. That's imperfect tense. Not he shall keep on inheriting. We have that little particle of negation on the front of it there, or adverb of negation. This one, he's talking about who?
Eliezer.
Galatians 4:28 and Matthew 11:14 and Luke 7:24 through 28. John 3:29. Actually, John 3:28 through 30, 22 through 36, and Matthew 25 and 6, Leviticus 21:2 and 9, 22:17, Ephesians 5:23 through 27 and 32, 2 Corinthians 11 and 2, and that's Revelation 21:2 and 9 and 22:17, all cross-reference to this. Eliezer led the bride to Isaac. He was a type of John the Baptist, but he was not to be the son. John the Baptist, it says, there is no greater prophet ever come than John the Baptist, yet he shall be what? Least in the kingdom of God. First of all, he was born saved. No volition. This is your hyper-Calvinist problem. Okay? They'll say, oh, see, that's everybody that way. But it isn't, is it? He was least in the kingdom of God because he was born without a volition. He was a special birth, a miraculous birth. And he came to do exactly what Eliezer did. He had no inheritance in it. Yet he was a great prophet of God. Just think about that. You're greater than John the Baptist. You have an opportunity to be the bride. Think about that. I want to impress upon you the beauty of the bride. The beauty of the bride. How God has set aside this time in eternity. Right now is when he's calling out his bride. Eliezer is here. Okay? He's calling the bride to the Lord. And she will be very special to him. Very special to him. Not he shall keep on inheriting. Eliezer was a type of John the Baptist, Matthew 11:14 and Luke 7:24 through 28. We could go read all of those verses. You think we ought to?
Sure.
That's all right. I don't have a Bible with me. You girls will have to help me out here and come up and read this. One of you get Matthew 11 and 14, Katamathion.
I've got Matthew.
Okay. Okay. Matthew 11 and 14 and then Luke 7:24 through 28. Who's got what?
I have 11:14.
Okay, come right up here, young lady. Making your little shoeless Joe up here. Shoeless Joe Jackson.
All right. So Matthew 11:14.
Yes.
It says, I'll start at 13 because it's
yes,
in the middle
fine.
Of. Okay. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come.
All right, he was the Elijah that was to come. And Elijah would call out. and be and make the way for the Lord. What do you got here, Sharon? Luke 7, 24 through 28? Okay.
And the messengers of John, having departed, began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the desert to gaze on? A reed shaken and swaying in the wind? Then what did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft garments? Behold, those who wear fine apparel and live in luxury are in the courts or the palaces of the king. What did you go out to see? A prophet? A fortune teller? Yes, I will tell you, far more than a prophet. This is he concerning whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who shall make ready your way before me.
That's Malachi.
Malachi 3:1.
Yeah, 3 and verse 1. Thank you. Now, John 3:29, 3:28 through 30. John 3:28 through 30.
John
3:28 through 30. And then Matthew 25 and 6. 3:28 through 30. You got that one, Chris? Marilyn, you want to do some of this?
So John 3:28 through 30. Yeah. Says, You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who is the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease.
All right. And that was John 3. All right. Matthew 25 and verse 6. Let's look at all this. This is good stuff.
Okay,
take time to do it. Matthew 25 and verse 6.
Then at midnight, there was a shout, Behold, the bridegroom, go out and meet him.
All right, there we have that parable, don't we? Okay, now Ephesians 5, 23 to 27 and 32. Ephesians 5, 23 to 27 and even 32. You got that one, Chris?
Mm-hmm. 23 through what?
27 and then verse 32.
Oh. 27 says...
5:23.
Oh.
Through 27.
Oh, 5:23, sorry. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. His body and himself is Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, so that he might represent the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish.
All right, and 32.
32. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church.
All right, see how special the church is? Now, how many husbands treat their wives like that?
Well, I don't know that any really could because we're sinful, but...
Yeah. But how many husbands treat their wives like that? How many husbands really cherish their wives and just pamper them like Christ pampers us?
Well, I think I have pretty good husbands.
Oh, yeah, you're doing pretty good.
I mean, I don't mean to brag, but...
doing pretty good.
But he's, yeah. But I mean, even in his goodness to me, he's still sinful and not...
Yes.
Not like Christ is to the
No,
church.
He's not like Christ, but that's the ideal, isn't it?
Yeah.
He read Ephesians 5, didn't he?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Read Ephesians 5. Marilyn, am I doing all right?
Mm-hmm.
Am I doing all right?
Does he pamper
Do I pamper you?
You?
Yeah. Do I? Do I pamper you?
Yeah.
Are you spoiled a little bit? Slightly?
What?
Slightly? Spoiled?
Oh, slightly.
Yeah. All right.
Martin.
Rotten? Spoiled rotten? Okay, Revelation 21, 2 and 9, Sharon. And then 22, 17. That's way back yonder, you know. And then 2 Corinthians 11 and 2, Chris.
Okay, about 9. Revelation 22, 9.
Oh, 2 through 9?
Uh-huh.
Okay. 2. that are the middle of the broadway of the city also, in either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 varieties of fruit, yielding each month its fresh crop, and the leaves of the tree were for healing and restoration of the nations. They shall no longer exist there anything that is accursed, detestable, foul, offensive, impure, hateful, or horrible. But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall worship him, pay divine honors to him, and do him holy service. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall be no more night, and they have no need of lamplight or sunlight, for the Lord God will illuminate them and be their light, and they shall reign as kings forever and ever through the eternities of eternities. And he of the seven angels further said to me, these statements are reliable, worthy of confidence, and genuine, true. And the Lord God of the spirits and prophets has sent his messenger, angel, to make known and exhibit to his servants what must soon pass. And behold, I am coming speedily, blessed, happy, and to be envied is he who observes and lays to his heart and keeps the truths of the prophecy, the predictions, consolations, and warning contained in this little book. And I, John, am he who heard and witnessed these things. And when I heard them and saw them, I fell prostrate before the feet of the messenger, angel, who showed them to me to worship him. But he said to me, refrain. You must not do that. I am only a fellow servant along with you and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who are in mindful and practice the truths contained in the messages of this book. Worship God only.
Worship God only. Now, let's go to 22. Just come right over. And you're going to go to Corinthians. You. That was 22 and verse 17.
22:17.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The Holy Spirit and the bride, the church, true Christians, say, come. And let him who is listening say, come. Let everyone who is thirsty, who is painfully conscious of his need of those things by which the soul is refreshed, supported, and strengthened, and whoever earnestly desires to do it, let him come and take and appropriate, drink the water of life without cost.
Okay, the bride said, come. Spirit and the bride said, come. All right, Chris.
11, verse 2.
Yeah, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2.
Okay. For I feel a divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ.
All right. That's what he told the Corinthian church. All right, that's what Eleazar was a type of, John the Baptist. Now, we looked at that pretty thoroughly, didn't we? Mm-hmm. Pretty thoroughly. All right. Eleazar is a type of John the Baptist. Now let's go to 15 and verse 5, and I think we'll quit right there for today. I don't know how many minutes we've gone. Wayotzi. Ota. Hahutza. Wayomer. Habet. Nah. Hashamayima.
Hashamayima.
Yusefor.
Ha-ko-kabim.
Em.
Tukol.
Lispor. Otam. Wayomer. Lo. Ko. Yeye. Zarika. And he brought out. And he brought out. Hifel, while consecutive, perfect, third person, masculine, and singular. He brought out him outside and said, and kept on saying, look, Habet, look now. The heavens, the Uranois, look now the heavens and count the stars. Hako wa kabim, the stars, to shiners. If you're able to, if you're keep on being able to. And in the Septuagint, it's ex arithesai. If you're able to use the arithmetic, you can't do it, can you? Have anybody ever counted all the stars out there? I don't think they ever have. And then to calculate, to count them. And he said to him, and kept on saying to him, thus, coal, it shall keep on becoming your seed and your offspring. Now, Abraham had a lot of children, didn't he? His first child he had was Ishmael, which means God hears. And the second child he had was Yitzhak, all right, which means pleasure or laugh or kiss or something that causes pleasure. And then he had several children by Keturah, didn't he? Which is the Gentiles. Abraham is related to the Hamites, to the Shemites, and to the Gentiles. We're all probably can trace our lineage back to him many, many times. Do you have any questions? Any comments? Marilyn, you got anything on this one? Got a question?
No, not right now.
Not right now. You're going to ask me later.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do. So
yes, okay.
In these places where... So in my Bible, in 15:1 and 15:2, and it says, the Lord, the Lord, but here it says Jehovah, and then here it says Adonai.
Adonai Jehovah.
So
those are titles of God.
Right.
That's his names.
And so
Jehovah is his personal name.
That's his.
And Jehovah means what? Now look at the last word you read over here, second to the last word, Yigeh. Yigeh. See Yigeh? That's almost like Jehovah. Look at that. The only thing different between that and Jehovah is a wow in the middle of it. See that? Yigeh. Become. And he shall keep on becoming your seed as the star of the heaven. You're going to have a lot of children. A lot of children. And he did. See that word Jehovah means he who shall become. Here is the root of it right there. If you look down there on 224 and page 224 in Brown Driver Briggs, 243 in Kohler and Bumgarner, that's where the word Yigeh or Hayah or Jehovah. It means he who shall become. John 1:14 is a fulfillment of it, he who shall become. He did become. Jehovah did become flesh and dwell among us.
So I know that there's a difference because Adonai is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and
Adonai Adonim.
And Jehovah is He who shall become. So why in the Bible do they say Lord and then Lord?
Lord Jehovah.
But it's two different.
It's a different time. Adonai Adonim is a title of God. Adonai Jehovah is a title of God. Jehovah Roe is a title of God. All of these. Jehovah Tasika. These are all titles. If you go to the website, discovertheword.com, go down there and look at the names of God, and you'll see these are titles of God.
But the reason why they do it in the scripture is just to make it simple?
To magnify his name. So we can see the different aspects. Like a diamond. A diamond that is without a flaw at all is very precious. Marilyn's got two, I think, like that, flawless diamonds on earrings. And you can look at them with magnification. You cannot see a flaw in them, but all you see is the facets and the color shine. That Audie Murphy's pistol that I have that's in the Cody Farms Museum, you shine a flashlight on that, which some of you have seen and even held that pistol, it just explodes with beauty from all of those little layers of that calcium carbonate. All that layers of that just shines with brilliance and rainbows of color. Those names of God do like that. We see the different facets of his person. Jehovah Rohi means what? The Lord my shepherd.
So what I'm saying is, why don't they say that in the scripture instead of just using Lord? Why don't they say the Lord is my shepherd? Or why don't they say King of Kings when the word Lord...
There is only one translation that actually does that I know about, and that's the Sacred Name Bible.
Oh, I have that.
Yeah, you have that, yeah. The Sacred Name Bible. It does actually translates that. It'll tell you that.
Because doesn't that matter? Like,
it matters a whole lot. The names of God is magnifying God, and it's a title that he fulfilled.
And it's kind of explaining what you're reading.
Yes. Many times it doesn't say that at all in the translations. The translations are simply translations. The original language is where you get all the glory and all the beauty.
All right.
People get saved by listening to translations. Mm-hmm. But if you want to know what's there, get into the language itself. And which you two have, three of you, all three of you.
Right.
You've done that. All right? You ready to go out and do something eternal?
Yep.
Did you learn something tonight?
I always do.
All right. We learned something. Could you dismiss us, Chris?
Yeah. Dear Lord, I just thank you for tonight, Lord, and I thank you for Brother Jim and Marilyn opening their home to us, Father. And I just pray that you'll open our minds and our hearts and let us to understand more. And just help us to use what we learn, Lord, to glorify you and to lead other people to you, Father. We ask this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.